I feel like the more and more we progress with offense, the more and more it's becoming harder for people to forgive. I was offended with other people in my life, right? But the root of some major offense is I was angry at God. I was mad at him.
There are a lot of people out there that are offended with God and they're afraid to admit it. How do we get to the place that we're not offended? I believe the scripture shows that there is an immaturity. It likens us unto babies, children, and adults in the spirit. There are children that just don't understand, hey, what's behind this? And God's got big enough shoulders where he can say, I can handle this from a baby, from a child.
Hey, you guys, welcome to In Totality, a place where we celebrate authenticity and openness. We're here for those who are willing to explore, those who embrace imperfections, and for those with open hearts and minds. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you, and while I can't predict every twist and turn, I'm certain that God will be by our side with every step of obedience. Welcome to In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to In Totality. I am your host, Megan Ashley, and today I have one of my heroes on the podcast, and he really doesn't need any introduction. He is a husband, he's a father, he is a communicator of the gospel, a teacher, an author. So without further ado, welcome John Bevere to the podcast. Hi.
Megan, what a pleasure it is to be on with you. And we've had a lot of conversation before we started this, and my heart is so, so thankful for the passion you have for truth and helping people through God's word, because we know that's the only way you can help people. So
yeah, thank you so much.
Honored to be on today. Thank you.
I'm beyond honored. I probably passed out and like fell out of my chair when they said you accepted the invitation to get on. I'm not joking. I don't have a lot of I've met a lot of celebrities. I like just in the secular world, I have met a ton of people. And I've met just a lot of people that have status and I really don't get I'm not a fan of a whole, I don't get, nervous or anything like that, but you are the person that changed my life last year, that God used to change my life last year. So I hold you in very high, high esteem. And you and your lovely wife, Lisa, who I can't wait to meet one day because she is just the person I want to be when I grow up, as I'm growing up. I just adore the both of you. And I'm so thankful for your ministry and all the things that you guys do. I'm just so thankful.
Well, when this podcast is through, I'm going to run downstairs and get her. Because let me tell you something. She is the one you might get a little nervous. She is one of the most remarkable human beings I know.
I believe it.
I tell her constantly, I'd marry you tomorrow in a heartbeat if I could.
Oh, I love it.
We've been married for 42 years. So
that's a blessing. 42 years, and you guys have three boys, right?
Four
boys. Okay. Yeah. I have three boys. So I stopped while I was ahead. I'm like, I can't, if I had another boy, I don't know what I would do. I was wanting a girl so bad and God just gave me three boys. And so I'm blessed though, because they love their mama. And I love that. I love to be kind of the queen of the house and they love their mama. So I love that. So I want to tell you about how I got introduced to you. So, this is last year in March. My divorce was being finalized and, I am in my office and I'm just watching, I was actually on my phone. I was on my phone scrolling and a reel of yours came up and it wasn't your page. They had no name, they didn't put your name in the caption or anything. And it was just a reel of you preaching. And the part that got me was a Christian who is offended is a Christian who has forgotten what they've been forgiven for. When I tell you about through my phone, I had never heard anything like that. It struck me in a way. So the rest of the day, I'm trying to find you. I don't know your name. I don't know how to find. I'm like, I have to find who this is. I need to hear this whole message because it was just a reel. So it was 30 seconds or so. I was like, I need to listen to this entire message. So I'm searching and searching and I find it on YouTube and I watched your whole message about the beta Satan. I immediately go to Amazon, overnight the book. I think I bought like two of them, one for me and one for Jordan, who helps me with my kids. And I got it for both of us. And I'm like, we're going to read this book. Like, we're going to read it. It's so good. We listened to the message and we're like, we're going to read this book. So I call my mom and I'm like, Mom, have you heard of this man named John Bevere and the beta Satan? She goes, girl, I read that book 26 years ago. And I said, oh my God, like, why wouldn't you tell me? Like, this is a book that should be required for every Christian to read. Like when my son, oldest son, is 13, in about a few years, I mean, I could probably give it to him now, but in a few years, I'm making it mandatory that every, like, all of my kids read this book. I think it's that important. I don't think that you can end well in this Christian walk without really addressing what's in the beta Satan, because I don't think that we're aware of the offense that we carry in our heart. And so first and foremost, I just want to thank you, because that book changed my life at a time where I could have been bitter, offended, broken, you know, resentful, revengeful. That book grabbed me, and I truly believe that it saved my life, and it put me in a position to be able to say yes to God when I needed to say yes to him. Because I don't think if I read that book, I would have said yes to God when he called me. And so thank you. Thank you.
If I said it to you, if you were the only person that it touched, it would have been worth the pain, the 2 years of pain that I went through. But I will say this, Jesus made a statement in Luke 17:1. He said, it's impossible. It's impossible that offenses will not come.
Yeah.
And what he's basically saying is, if you breathe air, you're going to have the opportunity to be offended. Somebody close to you is going to hurt you. It's going to happen. What you do with the offense is going to determine your future. Either you become bitter or you become stronger, but you'll never be the same. And it's obvious to me that, Megan, you chose to go the route of becoming stronger. And that's why you now are helping so many people, because really you are being so kind and saying, yeah, you were the vessel that God used to really minister to me. But Megan, let me say that you had to say, I will have a heart for the truth of God's word. Yeah. No matter what I feel, no matter how angry I am, no matter how hurt I am, I'm going to embrace truth. You chose to do that. And now you are a vessel that God is using to help so many other people. And I applaud you for that. Thank you for being an apostle. And I mean, please, I hope I don't freak your people out. Apostles were, you know where the word apostle came from? It was the Greeks actually started, but the Romans embraced it. They would send a ship of apostles to an area that Rome conquered. So those guys would go in and teach the customs and ways of Rome, right? So that it would become like a little Rome. So if it was like, let's say Spain, Spain would become like a little Rome. Well, we're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Which means what? We're all sent ones to bring what heaven wants. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the thing that's important is not this earth. This earth's all going to be burned up. It's the human beings. That's what's valuable to God. And that's who you're touching. You're giving your time, your energy, your strength to helping people. That's what's going to last for eternity. And I applaud you for doing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I'm so happy that we get a chance to talk, because I have been sitting with your books. The Beta Satan was the first one that I read. And then I moved into All of God, which is just less than a year old, right? And I'm so excited to talk about that, because there are some hard pills to swallow in the All of God, but they were necessary, so necessary. And then the final book that I want to kind of get your take on, because I haven't read it yet, is Driven by Eternity. You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show.
And I'm so excited about that. Like, it's sitting on my bookshelf and I'm like looking at it every other day. Like, I can't wait to get in there. But I want to go back to The Beta Satan. The Beta Satan is about 30 years old. Yes. So tell me what was going on with you, because what I love that you did in the book is that you were very transparent about offense that you dealt with in your own life, in The Beta Satan, and some of the things that you experienced. But what was it that you felt like you needed to write that book at that time? Because it feels more relevant now than I'm sure it probably did 30 years ago.
Well, David made a statement like this. It wasn't an enemy that reproached me. I could bear that. But it was you, my brother, my equal, my companion. We went into the house of God together. We received the word of God together. You're the one that's lifted your heel against me. The person that can hurt you the deepest is the one that's closest to you. Mm-hmm. Why? Because our expectations are higher. I mean, I have met Christians that have made this statement. Well, you know, the world treats me better than most Christians. That right there tells me, oh no, you've picked up an offense. Somebody very close to you has hurt you deeply. Mm-hmm. And the reason is David was saying, I expect an enemy to treat me wrong.
Yeah.
But it was someone that he and I together were going into the household of God. So the person, our expectation on the world, let's say this is ground zero, is zero. Mm-hmm. We don't expect the world to be a blessing to us. Our expectations on most Christians are here. Our expectations on our spouses here, and our expectations on our pastors is usually about here. Mm-hmm. So if the world does that much, it's been a blessing. If my pastor does that much, my pastor's offended me by that much.
Yeah.
So we set up ourselves for an offense by our expectations. So reverting back 30 years ago, there was a man in my life and he was a father. He was actually closer than my own natural dad. He was a father. And he had done some things over the course of a year that were devastating. And it climaxed. And I remember when it climaxed, people started coming up to me constantly going, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm fine. I'm going on with the call of God in my life. I'm fine. Are you going to go to him?" "No, I'm not going to him. I'm fine." Well, I was too proud to admit that I was offended. I saw being offended as a sign of weakness. And so what happened is Jesus made this statement in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, when the disciples said, "What's going to be some of the things that are going to happen right before you return?" And in other words, do we all believe that we're in the time period that Jesus is going to return? Absolutely. He said, "We know the season, not the day or the hour." So he's literally talking about where we're living right now. One of the things he said is he said, "Many will be offended." The Greek word for many means majority. It means most. It's literally, that's the translation. So he said, "Most will be offended." Oh my goodness, that tells me 51%. Now, I've preached this message all over the world. I've been to 60 nations. In every single, but one, there's only one in 30 years. Every single place I've shared on this, over 50% of the people stand up. I'm talking about 10 crowds of 10,000, crowds of 1,000. Over 50% of the people stand up saying, "I'm offended." Okay. So I've literally seen Jesus's words come true. Okay. He said, "Many will be offended. They'll betray one another." So an offense leads to a betrayal. Why? Because you put up walls, and now a betrayal is when I seek my interest at the expense of one I have a relationship with. Now I become self-focused instead of love-giving focused, right? And he said they will even come to a place they hate one another. Now, most Christians don't really know what hate is. The word hate actually means loveless. That's the definition, loveless.
Yeah.
It's a vacuum where there's no love. So hate doesn't necessarily mean anger, emotion. Absalom hated his brother, so he spoke neither good nor evil to him. It's just a void of love, okay? So he said they're going to be offended. Offense is going to lead to betrayals, and betrayals are going to lead to hatred. And then he makes this statement. He said, because lawlessness is going to abound. Now, lawlessness is the Greek word anomia, and that's when I revert to my own way of seeing things rather than the way God shows us. I mean, Megan, I'm a dad, right? So I got four sons. When they were toddlers, Christmas Day is a work day, right?
Yeah. For all of us, yes.
For dads especially. Moms are cooking the meal. Dads are building all the toys. So I'm your typical dad. I rip open the box, throw the pieces on the floor, throw the box and the manual over in the corner, and I build the toy. I spend an hour building it, and I'm finished, but there's still 10 pieces on the floor. I flip the switch, and it doesn't work. What do? I go get the owner's manual, the guy that designed the toy, deconstruct it the way he said to do it, and oh my goodness, it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody who is wise knows that God is the one who created me. He knows what breaks me and he knows what makes me. Yeah. So God is deeply in love with us. What God hates is what unmakes us. Offense is what unmakes me. So when I start thinking outside of truth, I've entered into lawless thinking. Yeah. And so Jesus said, because lawlessness is going to abound, the love of many is going to grow cold. The Greek word for love is the Greek word agape. That is the love of God that the world doesn't have, that only Christians have. Whoa. The love of many is going to grow cold. So here I am, deeply wounded by what this father figure had done. People are coming up. "Are you hurt?" "No, I'm fine. I'm fine." Well, I was too proud to admit I'm offended. So over the next couple months, Megan, I start getting colder and colder and colder towards the things of God and towards people. Now, it's like the frog in the kettle in reverse, okay? So I remember Lisa and I were on our way to, we were driving from Dallas to Houston because we lived in Dallas at the time. And there was a worship song on back in the days of CDs. Or cassette tapes. And she She's weeping next to me while she's worshiping. She looks over and there's this stone cold look on my face. And she goes, John, what's wrong? I said, nothing. I'm meditating your worship. And I am just a mess. I mean, I'm getting harder and harder. Well, Megan, it got so bad. I mean, ministry became an occupation for me, not a passion.
Yeah.
And what's really scary is people are still giving their lives to Jesus in our meetings. People are still getting miraculously healed in our meetings, but I'm getting cold, so cold at heart. And I remember one day it got so bad, I walked out to my deck and I looked up to heaven. And I said, God, I said, am I offended? And I heard this on the inside. Yes. And it's the loudest to this day, the loudest I've heard the voice of God. Wow. It was like God was saying, son, until you can admit you've been hurt and wounded, you can't get healed. Yeah. So I remember I said, God, what do I do? I fasted. I have prayed. I have forgiven by faith. What do I do? And I remember I was at the end of a 4-day fast and I go to this funeral and there's the man that had wounded me doing the funeral. And I'm sitting in the back and about 3/4 of the way through the service, the wells open up and I start weeping like a baby. And I said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I release you. And I left and I thought, wow, everything's good. Well, 2 weeks later, I see the man again and another little on the inside of me. What? And I remember thinking when I saw him, how can he be so blessed? He did this to me and he did this to me and he did this to me. He did this to that person. How can he be this blessed? And I remember I went home thinking about it. I talked about it at lunch with Lisa that afternoon. I thought about it. I ate dinner thinking about it. I went to bed thinking about how badly he treated me. I got up thinking about it. And I'm in the shower the next morning thinking about it. And I got scared. I thought, wait, I cried 2 weeks ago. Why am I still being so tormented?
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, there was a truth that I didn't understand. And Paul made a statement in Acts 24:16. He said, and herein do I exercise myself. Now listen to the word exercise to always have a conscience free from offense with God and man. Exercise myself. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I saw that verse and he said, that's what you need to do. You need to exercise. And I thought, how do I exercise? and I hear Matthew 5. So I go over to Matthew 5 and I'm reading the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, pray for those who abuse you. Matthew 5:44, I believe it is. Pray for those who abuse you. Wow. And I went, whoa. I mean, here's the thing we got to think about. Jesus never once said in the Gospels, pray for your mother.
Right.
Should we pray for our mom? Yes, yes, yes. I find it so interesting. The one he tells you to pray for is the one who has abused you.
Yeah.
And I remember I got up from the table right then and I said, God bless him in Jesus' name. The next day I'm in praying and I'm going, Lord, by the way, bless him in Jesus' name. The next day, Lord, if you can, bless him. I'm in Jesus' name. Now, I do this for 5 weeks, right? And I'm getting no better. I'm just as bad. And 5 weeks later, I'm on another 3-day fast, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and said, read Psalm 35. And I'm no idea what's in Psalm 35. So I start reading. I get to the 11th verse, and David said, fierce witnesses have risen up against me. They reward me evil for good. I said, hey, that's me. I've done good, and he's rewarded me evil for it, right? And then David says this, but as for me, when he was sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I prayed for him like my mother or my brother. The Holy Spirit said, son, you need to pray for him. Whatever you want me to do in your life or your family's life.
Wow.
Now that's
where a hard pill to swallow.
Now think about it. Exercise. Why would Paul say I exercise myself? Well, Megan, I don't know if you're from an athletic background, but I'm from an athletic background. Okay. I get sports injuries, right? I played Junior Davis Cup tennis, USTA circuit. I played varsity tennis for Purdue University. I get it. If you get an injury, you have to go through physical therapy. What is physical therapy? It's focused exercise to get that area healed, right? I remember going through physical therapy for my shoulder, right? And my physical therapist was a female. Megan, I wanted to hit her. She was making me hurt so bad. Okay. Okay. Of course, I would never hit a female.
Okay? For sure.
But if you think about when those guys, like we had, the, you know, if you look at those football players, they blow out their knees, right? Mm-hmm. Physical therapy, and they're doing leg curls, and they got 20 pounds on there, and they're screaming in pain. Why? But they're doing it because they want to get that muscle and those tendons and everything back to where it was and even stronger than before they injured it.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about painful. I started praying. I remember when God said, you pray for that man, whatever you want. Everything I wanted, I started praying for him. Mm. It was painful. Mm. I'm praying that God would surround him with wise counselors. God would fund his ministry. God would, everything, that he would walk as closely with Jesus as a man could, that he would know Jesus is. And it's like, some people say pray what feels good. I say, forget that. You pray truth. You yeah. pray truth. Okay, yeah. That there's an aspect to that. But you're supposed to pray truth. So I'm praying everything the Word of God says that he wants for our lives and our relationship with him. I start mm-hmm. praying for what I didn't realize was a healing process began. Mm. Remember, it went from being painful to where I was actually excited. Wow. And I started getting passionate. And I remember after praying this way about 5-6 weeks, I'm out one morning and I'm in a deserted place outside. And I remember I'm deep in prayer and I yell the man's name out. And I said, so-and-so, I love you. And when I said, I love you, it was like junk came out of my gut, the way I know how to say it. And I remember stopping and I thought, I'm healed. Healed. I went back. I told my wife, I said, babe, I'm healed. Saw him a couple of weeks later, the same guy, another little, I thought, now what? And, you know, Jesus said, if your brother offends you, go to him. Well, the way I looked at that is that's the license I have to go vomit on somebody and tell them how badly you treated me. Mm-hmm. Right? That's not what Jesus has in mind. He has in mind reconciliation. Mm. A lot of your listeners confuse forgiveness and reconciliation. They're two different things.
Yeah.
Okay. How do we understand the difference? Look at the cross. When did Jesus forgive us? When he hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was not only forgiving the Pharisees, the Roman soldiers. He was forgiving the next generation, the next generation, the next generation, right down to you and me, because our sins put him on that cross.
Right.
So he forgave me before I ever said, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Little clue there. So many times I hear Christians say, I'll forgive them when they apologize.
Yeah.
What if Jesus would have waited for us to apologize before he forgave us? Because the Bible commands us for our own good, forgive one another, even as God has forgiven us.
Yeah.
God, Jesus forgave me before I ever said, I'm sorry. But now when was I reconciled back to him? Repented and said, I'm sorry. You were right. I was wrong. Please forgive me. What led me to repentance? The goodness of God. Mm. So the Lord showed this to me and he said, you're going to him not to tell him how bad you treated me. Wow. You're going to him to create an atmosphere of goodness and then share with them what you went through and give him the opportunity to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So God gave us sunshine. He gave us food before we ever said we were sorry, right? But then one day his word came and showed us how we offended him.
Yeah.
All his goodness and his love that he extended to us before we got saved caused us to repent and say, I'm sorry, you were right, I'm wrong, please forgive me. Okay?
Yeah.
So I go to this man and I brought him a gift. And I mean a real gift, something I would like to have, okay? and I remember when he opened it, he looked up at me and he was speechless. I mean, his mouth was open. His eye, you know, he's looking at this gift, right? And I saw that as my opening. I said, hey, I want to first of all ask you to forgive me. And he went, for what? that I've been really critical of you and really judgmental of you. And I'm wrong. Mm. That's all. And he said, no, no, you haven't been critical of me. I said, yeah, I have. I said, I'm really sorry about it. And he said, well, I forgive you. And that opened him up. And when it opened it up, we had about an hour long conversation, which I was able then to share my view of, which I then discovered he was ignorant of a lot of it.
Wow.
I remember when that meeting was over, we came together like this, and we've been like this ever since. And I remember I looked at my wife a couple of days later and I said, you know, babe, when I first met that man, he could do no wrong in my eyes and I loved him. I said, that's immature. I said, then I saw his faults and I didn't love him anymore. I said, that's immature. I said, now I still see his faults, but I love him with the same intensity of when I first met him. And that must be the love of God, because the love of God is the multitude of faults, the multitude.
Yeah.
Our relationship has been amazing the past 32, 33 years, whatever it's been now since. Now, I will say there's times when you even extend that goodness for reconciliation and it's not received. Doesn't God extend that goodness to unbelievers who still go no, 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 and one day they'll be separated from him forever? Okay, the Bible says, in as much as possible with you, live peaceably with all men. Yep. In other words, you go to the extra mile to try to create an atmosphere of forgiveness, but they may not receive it, or they may receive it 2 or 3 years down the road. There were people that witnessed to me about the goodness of God long before I got saved. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 2 or 3 years later that I really had a heart to hear. So, you know, the Bible tells us, it commands us to be imitators of God as dear children. Mm-hmm. God continues to give people chances to be reconciled. And that should be our heart, but not putting ourselves in harm's way, abuse way. Mm-hmm. You've got people that are abusive. You've got, in the sense that they'll hit you physically, they'll do something to you. You can still reach out to them by not putting yourself in harm's way. Mm-hmm. So it then comes down to using the wisdom. But let's get back to the very first statement you made. A person who cannot forgive is a person who's forgotten what they've been forgiven of. Mm-hmm. We deserved hell. We deserve to burn in a lake of fire for eternity. That was our just reward for the way we offended God. Mm-hmm. God chose to forgive us before we ever said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I don't know anyone who has offended somebody to the level to where it deserved a lake of fire for eternity.
Right. Right.
So the magnitude of how much God forgave us is like this, and the magnitude of us forgiving each other is like this. Mm-hmm. And if God put his love in our heart, which means he forgave us from a lake of fire that burns forever and ever.
Yep.
We have the ability to forgive no matter what has been done to us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hard. It's the reality of it, right? Cause we see in God's word where he says, like, if we don't forgive, then the Father won't forgive us, right? So we see this, but I feel like the more and more we progress with offense, the more and more it's becoming harder for people to forgive. And one thing that stuck out to me in the beta Satan was addressing my offense with God. And it was realizing that I wasn't so much offended. I was offended with other people in my life, right? But the root of some major offense is I was angry at God. I was mad at him. And I remember, like, getting to a place where I was being very honest with God. Like, I'm mad at you. I don't like it. You did this. I don't understand why you did this. Like, I just being honest. And I remember feeling that it was okay to come to him with that, like, and be honest, because he's not shaken.
He's not fragile.
He's
he's not fragile. And I try to encourage people to do with that, because a lot of times, even though we are offended with maybe a family member or a friend or something like that, but there is an offense that we have with God that I think that sometimes we're afraid to address.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Because it's like, who am I to be offended with God? And true, who are we to be offended with God? However it happens, we do get mad at him. We don't, you know, sometimes we question his sovereignty and his goodness and his kindness. And we take his patience for absence, right? Like, he's really being patient with us, but we take that as he's abandoned us. And so how do we get to a place where we're not offended with God?
So you just hit something so very important. And that is, there are a lot of people out there that are offended with God and they're afraid to admit it. So we covered that. How do we get to the place that we're not offended? Well, stop and think about it. Your boys, you've got three beautiful boys. I've never seen them, but I'm sure they're beautiful. So when they're 4 years old and they're throwing the food on the floor and you take away the food and then they get upset with you, you're like, that's the behavior of a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing what's good for them. I'm trying to prevent them from becoming a young man that has a temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if your 18-year-old does that, throws a fit, pull the food away, right? And you even having to pull the food away, you're going to be like, okay, this is a little bit more serious because I wouldn't expect this out of an 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I believe the scripture shows that there is an immaturity. It likens us unto babies, children, and adults in the spirit. There are children that just don't understand, hey, what's behind this? And God's got big enough shoulders where he can say, I can handle this from a baby, from a child.
Yeah.
So now what am I saying? There's been teachings about the sovereignty of God that I believe are erroneous, and that it sets us up to be angry at God. Mm. God gave human beings a free will. Stop and think about this. I remember when the Lord really taught me this. I was in a situation where things got out of hand in a service and the Lord told me to correct it and I didn't. Mm. Service never went back to where it was. The next day I was angry at God. Mm-hmm. I was like, you put me up to preach in front of people and yet last night was a disaster. And the Lord said, son, I told you to address that situation. I said, but it was so awkward and it was 20 minutes earlier. And the Lord said to me, he said, son, when I put men and women on this earth, I gave the authority to them. He said, if I was sovereign in the way you think sovereign is, mm-hmm. I would have come into the garden and slapped the fruit out of Eve and Adam's hand and said, what are you doing? Mm.
Right.
You understand the children that will be killed, the families that will be broken up, the diseases, the poverty, the suffering. Not to mention, my son's going to have to come and be brutally treated and die. He said, son, the reason I didn't do that is because I gave authority and dominion on the earth to men. Mm. Now, what we are seeing in this world is the result of us giving that authority over to Satan. He is called the prince of the power of the air. He's mm-hmm. called the God, little g, of this world.
Yeah.
So in other words, we're still living in a fallen world, even though Jesus died to set us free.
Yeah.
If we don't walk in our authority, okay, let me give you an example. A dad leaves his daughter a gun to use to protect herself in case while he's gone, some enemies are going to break in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's got that gun. He says, hey, I've given it to you. Some enemies try to break in. They do break in. They brutally beat her. They rape her. And the reason is she could have used that gun, but mm-hmm. she never used it. She never mm-hmm. used it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She was like, dad, help me, help me. Got on the cell phone. Dad, help me, help mm-hmm. me, help me. They're breaking in. Well, honey, I gave you the gun. Use it.
Yeah.
But she doesn't use the gun. Now she blames her dad for being gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So the reality is he left her protected. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Now you go in my name.
Mm.
The Bible says he disarmed the enemy, right? He's given us weapons. Now, these weapons are spiritual weapons. They're not like natural weapons. They're not like a physical gun. They're spiritual weapons. And a lot of times, because we're babies or we don't understand, we don't use those weapons when we should, and we end up. The other thing is we got to understand, there's so many things at play, it's hard to reduce it down to a formula.
Right.
You've got other people who have free wills. And God, just as he didn't slap the fruit out of Eve's hand or Adam's hand, is not going to force that person to do something, because his long suffering is hoping that person will get saved.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of complexities that go on when you're in a fallen world, and yet God's given people free will. God, again, is so powerful. He could come in and say, I'm going to override all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But wait a minute. Now he doesn't have a family with a free will.
Yeah.
He's got a family who's forced into obeying him, loving him, and serving him.
Yep.
So just as Jesus comes, I mean, I told you we had a hard stop, but this is too good. We got to because you're saying such good things and you're stirring up in me. All right. I want everyone to stop and think about this. God the Father says, I want to create a family from the foundations of the world. But I know, because I know the end from the beginning, I know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mess up. So he looks at the Son from the beginning, before the universe is even created, and says, they're going to mess up. Are you willing to go die for them? Mm-hmm. Yes. In their place. You being perfect, you being innocent, yes, that's why he's called the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So now, think about it. Jesus is born into a cursed world. Now, when we think Jesus, we're talking about the one who actually created the entire universe.
Yeah.
Said, by him, the worlds were created. Okay? So he comes and takes this cursed body. He comes into this cursed world and he takes a perfect body. He's got a perfect body. He's 100% man, 100% God.
Mm-hmm.
The only human being that's ever walked the face of the earth that's free from what Adam did to us. Okay? But this is my point. He knows what's going to be done to him.
Mm.
He knows that he's going to be despised, rejected, insulted, spit on the face. He's going to have his beard plucked out. He's going to be punched. He's going to be scourged with metal-tipped whips. That he would be so beaten and tortured that by the time he gets to the cross, his appearance wouldn't even be human any longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now wait a minute. How do I know that? Isaiah 52 and 53, Isaiah said by the time he got to the cross, his visage would not even be that of a human being.
Jesus.
Our creator knows he's going to go through this. And yet he's not done one thing wrong. And he's doing it because of how much he wants to see mankind redeemed and yet still maintain their free wills to choose him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we start understanding this, we don't get so angry at God anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what happened? You got a lot more mature. And I look at the scripture, it says, as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What Peter is saying, cease from sin means you've reached complete spiritual maturity.
Mm.
What Peter is saying is, when we choose to obey God the way Jesus chose to obey God, even though the suffering he endured. See, he was obedient to the point of death, Philippians 2, mm-hmm. right? So he didn't go out looking for suffering. He did what was necessary to redeem us because he deeply loved us so much.
Mm.
When you take a heart on that, any suffering I encounter in my obedience to God, any suffering will be redemptive for people, you then learn to embrace it.
Yeah.
Okay, now yeah. I didn't know this. Here I am a young minister. This is 30, 35 years ago. I'm a young minister. I don't know this. So I'm mad at God.
Mm.
Why would you put me under somebody like that? Why would you make him like a spiritual father? Well, did God author Saul's behavior towards David? No. Mm. But he knew the kind of person that David would come out. Did God author Eli's behavior towards Samuel? No, but God knew the kind of person Samuel would come out. Mm-hmm. So in essence, nobody can do anything to me to hurt my future except for me.
Yeah.
By becoming yeah. bitter. If I choose love, I choose God, I choose truth, mm-hmm. sorry, then any suffering I go through, I know is for redemptive purposes. I'm going to tell you something I believe after studying the scriptures for years. I believe a true believer who walks with Jesus will never go through any suffering unless that suffering has redemptive purposes.
Wow.
So now when I face suffering, I'm now, number one, do I need to address the enemy with the word of God? Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm anticipating redemptive purposes out of this. So I don't just lay down and take stuff from the enemy. No, I use the word of God, I resist.
Mm-hmm.
But there is suffering. I mean, Paul goes to Macedonia. He has a vision of this guy in Macedonia. He goes. And where does he spend the first night in Macedonia? In a dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's in the dungeon going, God, why'd you do this? You gave me a dream. You told me to come over here. And I'm in this dungeon? And I'm being brutally treated in this dungeon? He wasn't a baby.
Yeah.
He was sure enough to know, okay, there are people over here to reach.
Yeah.
As a result of keeping a right attitude and praising God in that dungeon, his whole jailer and his whole family got saved.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with a fallen world. You're dealing with people that are given free will, but yet you're dealing with a God who is perfect. And when I really learned that there is absolutely nothing outside of God's will that's good for me.
Yeah.
So this is what he says. Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. When I'm so firm in that, I know that anything God gives me, it's going to be good for me.
Yeah.
He doesn't author suffering. He authors only that which is good.
Mm-hmm.
The suffering comes from a fallen world.
Yeah.
But here's God with a son or a daughter who says, I'm going to be like Christ and I will be willing to suffer the adversity, the affliction, the persecution for the sake of seeing people get saved.
Yeah.
That is a mature believer.
Yeah.
Now, that offense is going to occur on that journey. It's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All of us. Okay, here you are, young believer. You love Jesus. You've gone through all this. You're mad at him. So you have not a full understanding yet of the fact that, yes, I give people free wills and I can't force them to do something as God. I remember the Lord said to me, he said, son, as you know, I've been in ministry for 4 decades. He said, I'm going to send you to places that won't listen to what you say.
Jeez.
I said, whoa. I mean, I remember I responded like this. I said, you're going to actually have me accept an invitation, fly to a city, stay in a little hotel room away from my family, knowing that they're not going to listen to what I say. He said, yes. I said, why would you do that? He said, because they will never be able to look at me and say that I didn't give them a chance. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So here's the judgment, the great day of the Lord. These people won't be able to look at Jesus and say, you never told me. Yeah, I did. Mm. I sent a person that you didn't, and you didn't listen to him. Mm.
That's so scary.
I know it kind of changes your perspective on life. It makes you more excited, I believe, when you really see the big picture. And it's because we see things through 70, 80 years, whereas God looks at things eternally. Mm-hmm. If Jesus would have looked at 33 years, he would have said, ain't no way I'm doing that. But what he looked at is through the eternal scope. Yeah. I'm going to have a family with a free will that loves me with a free will. I would never want to be Lisa's husband if she was forced into loving me. Mm. Lisa chose to love me and walk with me 42 years now of marriage, right? Yeah. I love that. My children choose to stay close to, I don't want them staying close because I forced them against their will.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you look at love, love has to take the risk of being hurt. And what I think a lot of us don't think through is how hurt must God's heart be with the way we behave?
Yes.
But yet he constantly.
I don't think that's something we consider. I think it's so easy to believe that God is God. So he doesn't have the same feelings or the same emotions that we do. And I think the more that I have been a parent, the more that I have experienced like some grieving from like what the Lord must feel. Like these are. And I love my kids. Like, I love them so much. It pains me sometimes to think about the love that I have for them. They are everything to me. And there's nothing in this world that I wouldn't do for them outside of denouncing Christ. I would never do that. But there's nothing I wouldn't do for my kids. And I look at the state of the culture and the state of the world, and my heart hurts for what the father must feel. Because these are the ones that he created and formed before we were even placed in our mother's womb. He knew us. And just that thought of like someone that you love so much that you would give your life for in a second, and then them, you know, turning their back on you or not accepting your love or not accept like that, I just couldn't imagine. And having kids helps put that in perspective for me. But I just,
and you as a mother, you as a mother understand that better than anyone. And I'll tell you why. Do you know that the mother's DNA, the child's DNA and the mother's DNA are combined? Mm-hmm. And the mother carries the child's DNA in her?
Mm-hmm. I just found this out like 2 weeks ago. I saw something about this like 2 weeks ago and I was like, oh my gosh.
It's not true with a dad. It's not true with, but it's true with my wife.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is the way I hurt my wife the most is when I treat our sons in a way that hurts her, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing, she has told me in the past, she said, there's nothing you can do that hurts me more, right? I get it. Okay. The Bible says that he put his seed in us. Oh, wow. The very same thing you have with your children, our seed, his seed, his DNA is in us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now we start thinking, okay, your children do, there's things that our children have done that we've just deeply grieved over, right? You know, nothing, I don't want to start any rumors, but you just go, oh gosh, I wish I could have made that decision for them. I wish I could just interfere and step in right now. But yet I can't. Yeah. I'm not going to. I just got to watch them go through it and learn the hard way. When they would have just listened to me, they would have learned it the easier way. But I'm like, you know what? Boy, does that hurt. Now, I can't even imagine how much it hurts Lisa because of having the DNA, right? His DNA's in us.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how his heart hurts when we make stupid decisions?
And it's all of us. It's not even just like, I just have three. You just have four sons. Think about that.
Yeah.
Like, I have three, and the way that my heart is so big and aches for them, like, my youngest just this past weekend was in the hospital. And just when you see your child hurt, there's nothing you can like do right then. And same with the Lord, I feel like, because he gave us free will, you know, I just, that pain of just wanting to fix it as a mother, that's our thing. We just want to fix it. I just like, give it to me. I'll take it. And the more that I'm a mother, the more I understand the love of the Lord, because I feel the way that I feel for my children. And I know it pales in comparison to the way the Lord feels for us. And when you were talking about,
think of it as the positive way though. What makes you more happy than anything when somebody blesses your kids?
Yeah.
When somebody like really does something good for your children.
Yeah.
They could do nothing better for you.
Yep. This is true.
So how do you think God feels right now, the way you're helping all his kids with your podcast? Oh my God. Megan's touching my heart so deeply because she's helping the ones I love so much. Yeah. So it works both ways. Yeah. I don't want it just to be on the negative. I want to
for sure
just on the positive. I'm sorry I interrupted you, but
no, that's good.
I didn't
good.
Want that thought to go away. It just came in. And I thought, I'm so sorry. Please.
No, you're good. You're good. That's good. And that's a helpful reminder because when you go through things in life and like like when I finally, I've known God my whole life. My mom is the most amazing human being I know and the greatest Christian I've ever known. She kept me in church and she showed me by example what it was like to have a relationship with the Lord. She didn't just say things or do things in particular atmospheres. She was who she was all the time, in church, out of church. I watched her counsel women all through the night, and people would come over and stay with us and live with us. And she was generous and kind. And I saw her do it when she didn't have it to do, when she didn't have the resources, and when she could barely have the capacity to take care of me and her, she still was generous and she lived this thing out. She is the greatest Christian I know. She has two master's degrees and she's brilliant. She has a master's in divinity. And she taught me a lot about the Lord, but she showed me how to have a relationship with him. And I'm so thankful that I had that foundation, because I think that I just came to a place last year where I fully dedicated my life to God. And Jesus was always my savior, right? He was always my savior, but he wasn't my Lord. I never allowed him to be Lord over my life. He was just my savior. And I came to a place last year where I was like, okay, I'm committing. He's going to be Lord over my life. Like, I'm going to fully go in and give everything to him. And when you talked about suffering, the reason why what you just said blessed me is because I know all the mistakes that I have made. And I feel like doing this podcast and, you know, really committing all of my life to being a communicator of the gospel, an advocate for the kingdom, sometimes I feel like this is the least I can do and I'm not doing enough. I feel like I could do so much more. And, you know, like, I don't know. I don't always see it the way that you just said it. And that helps and it blesses, you know, it helps me. And that blessed me that you said that.
I'm going to say, as a church dad, I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you.
Loving people the way you're loving people. And I do want to say this, that I look at Beta Satan as a message, but I look at the foundation as being the awe of God and driven by eternity. Now, it's interesting that you haven't read Driven by Eternity. Driven by Eternity, I want to talk about that book. I remember when God told me to write it, it was in 2005. And he said, son, I want you to write a book on the judgment seats. And I was like, what? I preached maybe 20 minutes on the judgment seats my entire life. How can I write a book, a chapter, let alone a book? And he said nothing. And I remember I thought, what do I do? So I got every scripture out of 8 translations that had to do with eternity, rewards, judgment, heaven and hell, right? And I get a notebook this thick with 12 point, right? And I'm like, wow, he has a lot to say. Mm-hmm. So I meditated on that for 1 month and God starts showing me things. And all of a sudden I realized we live life, this life, with a 70 or 80 year perspective. Mm-hmm. Live it with an eternal perspective. Let me give you an example. If I walk into a wedding reception and I have a 1 day perspective and I see a massive table filled with luscious desserts, what am I going to do? I'm going to eat every one of those desserts. If I have a 1 year perspective, what am I going to do? I'm going to eat one or zero desserts because why? I don't want an upset stomach the next morning. I don't want 10 pounds of fat on my body. Mm-hmm. And I don't want compromised long-term health. So that perspective changed the whole thing from me eating the entire table of desserts to one dessert. Mm-hmm. When we see life through 70, 80 years, we will live differently than when we see life through the eternal perspective. When we see it through the eternal perspective, we'll endure things that we wouldn't necessarily endure. We'll make different decisions. So if you look at eternal rewards and judgment in Hebrews, the 6th chapter is a elementary teaching of Jesus Christ. Now, what did we get in elementary school? We learned how to read, write, add, and subtract, multiply and divide, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine building a high school degree, getting a high school diploma, not knowing how to read, write, add, or subtract. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So here we got all these Christians in America, and they are building their lives off of not even having the knowledge of how to read, write, and add and subtract in the spirit. Example, I went to Goiânia, Brazil in 2016. Now, I wrote this book, Driven by Eternity, in 2006, but I relaunched it in 2016, and something happened that caused me to relaunch it, and it sold like another 150,000 copies.
Wow.
But I'm down there, and I'm speaking to 12,000 pastors in an arena. They're blowing the roof off this. They're so passionate for Jesus, right? So the next day, I'm having lunch with the 8 top leaders, and I said, so how many people are in your churches? And they said, oh, well over 300,000. I said, wow, that's a lot of people. I said, when did this all begin? When did this whole movement begin? And I'm thinking they're going to say 75, 100 years ago. They said, oh, 16 years ago with one man, the man you met last night. Hmm. I said, whoa, wait a minute. How do you build a church network of over 300,000 people in 16 years in a first world nation? And I thought they were going to say because they're connect groups. Mm-hmm. And they did. Without hesitation, the guy looked at me, who was sitting across from me, one of the top leaders, and he said, it's because we have an eternal perspective. We teach our people on eternal rewards and judgment. Oh, whoa. He said, now, John, I go to America a lot because my English is so good. I get asked to speak in America. You Americans live with a 70 or 80 year perspective. We live with an eternal perspective. And here's thing I want to seed kind of your listeners to. And this is one of the big idea statements in the book Driven by Eternity. We all know that what we do with the cross determines where we're going to spend eternity, heaven or hell, right? We know that as believers. What most believers don't know is what we do with the cross does determine where we're going to spend eternity. However, the way we live as believers determines how we're going to spend eternity. Now, can you imagine if if some leader walks into a room and says, all right, the way you're going to live the next 1,000 years, let's say we could live 1,000 years in these bodies, not 70 or 1,000. And the leader said, the way you're going to live for the next 1,000 years is going to be determined by how you spend the next 24 hours. I mean, the house you live in, the job you do, the people you live next door to, the car, everything, where you live, whether it's Siberia or Newport Beach, for the next 1,000 years is going to be determined by how you live the next 24 hours. How would we live that 24 hours? Totally different.
Very intentional.
Very intentional. Mm-hmm. Yet that's nothing compared to what we're talking about. Because if you remember in mathematics, if you put any number over infinity, it equals zero. Mm-hmm. So if you put 80 years over eternity, it equals zero. What we do in this zero time determines how we're going to spend eternity. And eternity, when we get there, this life is going to seem like a dream.
Yeah.
That's going to be reality. Mm. And if people think it's going to be clouds and a nonstop boring worship service, they are so misinformed. Who do you believe came up with all the wisdom and the creativity to do what we do here on this earth? Mm-hmm. And birthed it. Heaven is going to be busy. There's going to be planning galaxies. There's going to be growing. It's going to continue to grow. Yeah. I mean, Jesus is setting up his leadership that's going to lead the universe.
Wow.
Okay. And he's harvesting out of this world now those who truly love and seek after his wisdom to be his leaders. So here's the question. Do you want to be a plumber, or do you want to be, or do you, in heaven for eternity, or do you want to be? And I'm making this in human terms. Or do you want to be on Jesus's board that's planning a new galaxy?
Lord.
Okay, so you know, you choose.
Yeah.
Because the way we live now determines how we'll spend eternity.
Yeah.
Because the word eternal judgment is a decision. Mm. Okay. That's all it means. When people hear the word judgment, they think condemnation. No, the word judgment is the Greek word krema, which means a decision after an investigation. Jesus is going to investigate how we lived in this earth as Christians. And he's going to make decisions, and those decisions are going to be eternal.
Hmm.
So what we do right now determines how we're going to spend eternity, because at that judgment seat, he'll make decisions. There'll never be any revisions to them. They're eternal decisions. So this, I believe, the awe of God is the foundation.
Yeah.
Because Paul said the foundation of understanding this is to understand the awe and the wonder of God, which is what prolongs us and gives us the ability to stay true to the end.
Yeah, that's so good. I'm so excited to read it. I'm so excited. And I promise you're probably going to get an email from the team to have you come and possibly speak to the 1500 people that are part of Patreon when we go through Driven by Eternity, because I feel like it's so important right now. Like, it feels important that we make conscious decisions now to live for eternity and not for the just right now. And I feel like our society and culture produce an atmosphere where it's all about just live your life, just, you know, YOLO, you only get one life, just do it big and live it up and make all the money that you need to make, instead of having an eternity mindset and living intentionally every single day for eternity. And I just think it's so important. And what you said about the awe of God, like I said, I finished reading it a few weeks ago, and it has changed my approach to everything, down to not conviction, but conviction. Just every little thing, God is like checking me, like even posts on Instagram. God is like I'm finding myself checking every motive and every heart posture, and having that reverence for him in everything that I do. So I'm so excited for my viewers and listeners to to hear you speak about these books that have radically changed not just my life, but so many other people's lives. And I'm so excited to read more. And you just have blessed us so much. So thank you.
It's been an honor to be on this program with you. I want to thank you for the way you're helping so many people. I don't know much about your platform. I just know that my team said, John, you're going to want to be on this interview. So glad I listened to them. Then I told you I had a hard stop 25 minutes ago. I literally have an appointment in 5 minutes.
No, we got to get you out of here.
I heard the sincerity, first of all, the genuineness, the authentic way you're sharing your heart, and yet still with a great hunger for truth. After the great pain that you've lived through, I know in my heart how God is using you as his little girl that's touching a lot of people. And I really sense that your impact is going to grow. I really believe that. Stay sweet, stay humble, stay teachable.
Yes, sir.
Always keep truth at the forefront. Please, yes, sir. I want you to finish well.
Yes, sir. I want to finish well too. So thank you.
Speaking to you as a dad right now, yeah. I want to see you do well. I want to see you succeed, and I want to see you finish well, most importantly.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. And thanks for coming on and blessing us. And once we get into the Driven by Eternity, I'm sure I will email you saying, this is so crazy. Thank you. You changed my life again. So thank you so much. And can you please just really quickly tell everybody about the Messenger app? I think it's important that they know it and they know what's on there so they can download it. There's such amazing resources on there.
We have, we spent $14 million to create this app. So that's what it looks like. And on this app, we've put, I think, about 8 audiobooks, which you will have to buy still this day on Amazon. You'll have to buy them for $10. We're giving them away for free. The whole app. It's in 127 languages,
wow,
which means it's the number one app in the world in languages. YouTube's number 6 at 80 languages.
Wow.
We have courses, we have books, we have shorts, we have everything. It is a discipleship library. You can actually push on the course when it comes up. Let's say we want to do the story of marriage, right? If when I say watch, it'll say privately. Or it will say, invite friends. It'll pull up your list. You can track each other's progresses.
That's awesome.
Go through courses together. So all they have to do to get it is go to the App Store and type in Messenger X. No space between the R and the X. It'll come up and you can download it for free. If you don't have an iPhone, but you have an Android, you can go to Google Play and type in Messenger X. If you don't have either, you can go to messengerx.com on a computer. But awesome. We felt, Lisa and I have been in ministry now over 4 decades. We felt with all of our heart, there are 1/3 of Africa speaks English. They can't afford to purchase this or do a subscription. We knew there were moms, single moms on food stamps. There was no way we were going to charge for it. That's why we chose to make it free, even though we've invested over $14 million in this. Our partners are happy about it. We just know that Jesus's final words were going to all the world to make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
Not converts, disciples. And the disciple, the pupil, he is a learner. She is a learner. And she is someone who's becoming like Jesus because of truth. And that's why we want to make this available to everyone. So Messenger.
Yes, go make sure you guys download it. Messenger X app. I have it on my phone. It's an amazing resource. So make sure you guys download it. Make sure you go to my Amazon storefront. I have all of John's books that we've read. We have all of those on my Amazon storefront where you can get the books. And then you have the audio for free on the Messenger X app. So you can definitely listen to it on there. But again, John, thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you're doing. And please give our love to your family, especially Miss Lisa.
I will.
Hey, you guys, before you go, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and share it with a friend or a family member. If you could do me one huge favor, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a heartfelt review. It helps others just like you discover the podcast. You guys, let's continue to spread the inspiration. For more about me and the podcast, visit www.themeganashley.com. Until next time, stay encouraged that you are so valued and so loved.